I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host, and I'm delighted you've joined me for today's broadcast. On today's program, we'll be talking about the privileges that are available to God's children and how you and I can take advantage of those privileges. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4, Peter writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Did you catch that? As a follower of Christ, God has given you exceeding great and precious promises that allow you to become a partaker of the divine nature. That's incredible. Let your heart well up in gratitude and praise to God for his marvelous provision. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the wonderful promises you give to us as your children. We thank you for your faithfulness, You always keep your promises. In our message today, Dr. Yoder will be speaking to those who have already chosen to follow you. But I pray right now for those who are listening who aren't your followers. I pray that they will see their need of you and understand that the promises of God are available to them if they will confess their sin and accept the blood of Jesus as the only acceptable payment for that sin. Father, open their hearts and minds to the truth of your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's Dr. Yoder with today's message. Let's claim our position.
Perhaps you have heard this story. It took place many years ago when crossing the Atlantic was only done by ship. You bought your ticket, you boarded the ship, and then you were on the high seas for perhaps as much as 2 weeks, maybe more. Well, the story goes that a certain man bought his ticket, and before he boarded the ship, he went and purchased some cheese and crackers. They would keep for him on board the ship, so every day he had his meals of cheese and crackers. When they neared the port of destination, someone else saw him finishing up his cheese and crackers and asked him, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Well," he said, "I'm having my lunch. I bought these cheese and crackers before we left because I wanted to have something to eat on board ship." His friend looked at him in consternation. "Why," he said, "my friend, when you bought your ticket, you paid for all your meals on board ship. And you have been living on cheese and crackers all these days when there was a wonderful meal waiting for you at every mealtime in the dining room." We think that man was rather foolish, and he was. But you know, the Bible tells us that a young man came to Jesus one time with a very severe problem. He wanted to know how to have eternal life. And Jesus looked at him and said to him that he should keep the commandments. And the young man said he had done all this from his youth. Then he asked, "What do I lack?" Then Jesus told him to go and sell what he had and give to the poor, and then to come and follow him. But the young man went away sorrowful. The Bible says he had great possessions. He failed to let loose of what he had so he could grasp greater values. Well, I guess that was like eating cheese and crackers and missing a good meal. Oh, there are many people like that. They prefer to live on the perimeter rather than in the heart of life. Our Christian lives ought not to be a burden to us. They ought to be a joy to us. So I want to talk to you about claiming our position. Let's claim our position. I'm reading from 1 Peter 2, 9-12. Be sure to follow in your Bible. Here's the word of God. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation." I'm going to reduce Peter's words to several directives whereby we can claim our position. Be sure to stay with me. The first directive is, rejoice in the light of God. Think of the darkness you were in. Think of the darkness that surrounded us. Think how we were blinded by the god of this world. Think how we were stumbling along life's way. Oh, think how we were under the prince of darkness. Just think of the darkness. Now, reflect on the light. Light drives darkness away. Darkness cannot put out the light, but light drives the darkness away. The light of God is marvelous light, the Apostle Peter tells us. God is light. God is self-generating light. All other light is reflective. But God is self-generating light. Rejoice in the light of God that drives away the darkness. Then Peter enumerates what our high calling is, and why we ought to rejoice in the light of God. We are a chosen generation. That means God made a choice. God looked down upon us and knew what we needed. And we are an elect generation, a race of people. A kingly priesthood. He calls us a royal priesthood. We have been elevated from the peasant behind the plow to the king in the palace. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, separated, lifted out of the miry clay. Our feet have been set upon a rock. Praise God. And we are a people of his own, a peculiar treasure, his own private possession. My friend, we belong to God. His light defines who we are. So rejoice in the light of God. Oh, yes, rejoice in the light of God. Let us claim our position in the light of God, delivered from darkness. Amen. The second directive Peter gives us is, rely on the mercy of God. Now ponder the past a moment. The Apostle Peter says, in time past we were not a people, no cohesion, scattered. Individuals, but not a people. In time past, we had not obtained mercy. No mercy. No hope. Adrift like a sailor on the sea, with no compass, no wind, no rudder. An unbearable state. Oh, ponder. Ponder the past without mercy. If there's no mercy, then all that is left is justice, and how terrible that is. Now, meditate on the present. Oh, meditate on the present. Now the people of God, once no people, now the people of God, belonging to God. That's what that means. It means we belong to God. We are his as a people. Now we have obtained mercy. What a glorious act. And that mercy is at once. Mercy equals pardon. Because God can be merciful only if he is just. And if he is merciful, then we can expect pardon. We can expect reconciliation. Not a people, now a people. No mercy, now mercy. Friend, we have no other reliable place. Let's claim our position on the mercy of God, the only reliable place. The third directive is, revel in the glory of God. We are supposed to live like travelers. We are non-residents here in this world. We're strangers and pilgrims passing through. We have a heavenly passport. Amen. We have a heavenly passport, and we should be proud to show that heavenly passport anywhere, everywhere. We must keep our roots shallow. Keep traveling. Don't settle down too solidly. Then he goes a bit further. Abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. My friend, it is a battle. We all know this. We know how the devil comes to us with the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We know it is a battle. We constantly need to be on guard against Satan. The Apostle James said, every man is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Abstain from fleshly lusts, because it is a war, the Apostle Peter says. And then behave yourself properly on a regular daily basis. That has to be done where we live. Too many of us often express ourselves that if we just weren't here in this particular environment, we could do so much better. But we have only this place to live. Earth is our place of livelihood, and here we are among the Gentiles, Peter says. So we live in our community. We live in our neighborhood. We live in our country, and we are to behave ourselves properly where we live. As we do, Peter says, while they may talk about us, while they may not like us, they cannot condemn us because we behave ourselves properly. And Peter further says that good works glorify God. Good works are the fruit of a close walk with Jesus. Now we hear much said about, it's impossible but to be saved by good works. And that's true, but that is not what we are talking about. We are talking about the fruit that comes from living properly. Behaving oneself as he ought comes as a result of a close walk with Jesus, I tell you. Actually, we have no other reasonable goal than the glory of God. Anything else is less than what we should ascribe for. Therefore, let's claim our position in the glory of God. My friend, God has done so much for us. We have hardly received a thimbleful of what he has done for us. We have hardly scratched the surface. I appeal to you. Let's claim our position. Let's rejoice in the light of God that throws the darkness back. Let's rely on the mercy of God that brings us pardon in the face of his justice. Let's revel in the glory of God and behave ourselves properly. And now let's pray. Majestic and holy art thou, O God. Just and right are thy ways. How marvelously and wonderfully thou hast carved out for us a position, and we often come short of it. So I pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us to take these directives that Peter gave us very seriously, that we might rejoice in thy light, that we might rely on thy mercy, and that we might revel in thy glory, so that our lives will indeed fulfill thy purpose for us. And I pray this for my friend and me, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Follow the path of Jesus, walk where his footsteps lead, keep in his beaming presence every counsel heed. Watch while the hours are flying, ready some good to do. Quick while his voice is calling, yield obedience true.
Thank you, men. And thank you, Dr. Yoder, for those practical explanations from this text. The opening story of the man on the ship eating the cheese and crackers was humorous, but the implications of it are sobering. How often have you and I been content with less than what God really intended for us? You know, I believe God has so much more he wants you and me to experience. But you know something else? He won't force himself on us. If we fail to experience all God has for us, that failure lies with you and me. I remember years ago sitting in a service where Dr. Yoder was preaching about God's infinite grace. And during the message, he said something that I'm quoting as best as I can remember it. Too many of us are content to piddle around in the pools of God's grace when the whole ocean is available to us. That's kind of like the man living on cheese and crackers, when he could have had filet mignon. The wayward son in Luke 15 understood this, The Bible says that he came to himself. That means he came to his senses. He came back to his right mind. He realized that what the world was offering him was only empty husks, and it didn't satisfy. But his father's house, that place that he had so eagerly left behind, back there were people who genuinely loved him and cared about him. And here he was in the pig pen, a slave with the most menial job possible. Yet back home, he could claim his position as a son. So he made up his mind to go back and ask his father not to take him as a son, but to receive him as a servant. Because of his foolish and sinful living, he felt unworthy to be a son. But if you remember the account, you know the father didn't buy that line of reasoning. Instead, he received his son with rejoicing. He prepared a feast in his honor. He put his signet ring on the son's finger, and he gave him a beautiful robe to wear. And he invited everyone to rejoice because his son had come home. My friend, that account demonstrates so clearly the heart of Jesus toward you and me. All of us, every person who was ever born on the face of the earth, has been like that wayward son, estranged from the Heavenly Father. We've lived in sin and selfishness, gratifying ourselves and thinking that sin would bring us pleasure. But we all find out, some quicker than others, that sin doesn't satisfy. It only leaves us with deeper longings, greater frustrations, and bigger problems. But our Heavenly Father waits for you and me to turn to Him. He waits for us to realize that He was there all along, wanting us to look to Him for the meeting of our needs, and for the healing of our hurts, and for the satisfying of our deepest longings. And when we turn to Him in faith, He's right there to meet us and to receive us as His child. He's there to pour the riches of His grace into our broken up, messed up lives. He's there to give us new life, to restore the wasted years, and to give our lives meaning and purpose. Oh, my friend, what a blessed future awaits all who surrender their lives to Him.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love abides forever through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing the billows roar.
Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love,
oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of life and love.
Now, friend, if you're living in sin and you're tired of all the pain, the broken relationships, the physical consequences of immorality, the so-called freedom that's turned into bondage, and the endless ache in your soul that nothing can touch, then I urge you, turn to Jesus. He's waiting to forgive your sins and to give you a new life. Now, I can't guarantee you that all the consequences of your wrong choices will be erased, because that's not how life works. But I can promise you this: God's grace will empower you to live in victory rather than in defeat. So if you're making the choice today to start a new life with Jesus, then please let us know. We'd like to help you better understand what it means to be a child of God. And we'd like to pray for you, too. So please, let us hear from you. And there are several ways you can contact us. The easiest way is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or just pick up your phone and call our office toll-free at 866-960-0292. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, I'm happy to inform you that we recently had this whole series reprinted in an attractive paperback book. The teaching you heard today, as well as all the messages in this series, are contained in the book titled Sojourners in Faith. We'd be happy to mail a copy to you for a donation of any amount. So, to request your copy of Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or call our offices toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or finally, you can write to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. And then if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at our website, heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number at 1-866-960-0292. And when you send your gift, don't forget to ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. Now, we do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. We recently have removed our broadcast from several stations because we weren't receiving enough donations to cover our expenses. You don't want that to happen to you. So let us hear from you today. Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you'll come back next week. Lord willing, Dr. Yoder will challenge us again with another message from 1 Peter. So you plan to join me. And until then,